Welcome to The Buyer's Desk, your weekly resource for all things natural food retail. Each month starts with a deep dive into SPINS data, spotlighting growth trends and key industry insights. Then I'll bring you conversations with industry leaders and highlight brands making waves in the natural channel. We'll wrap up each month with actionable strategies, collaborative discussions, and tactical tips to help you thrive. This season is packed with fresh perspectives, big ideas, and everything you need to stay informed in natural food retail. Hello, and welcome back to The Buyer's Desk. I'm Angela, thrilled today to be joined by my colleague and friend, Nick Ozan, our Director of Promotional Programs. As you may recall, Nick and I recorded an episode last year where we promised to come back because, as I will quote you, Nick, everyone throws out trends, but oftentimes does not go back to reflect on what they got wrong or right.
Sounds like
actually.
Something I'd say.
Absolutely. Well, I do appreciate you joining us today. Let's just kick this off with how are you?
I'm doing well, Angela. It's a beautiful December morning, and I'm excited to revisit some of our predictions and see what we got right and what we didn't.
All right. Well, let's start with our 2025 predictions. And then I don't know about you, but I did put a few thoughts together about 2026. So just to kick this off, we started with your prediction about better for you soda. What say you, Nick?
What say I? Well, if memory serves, I said that was a fantastic growth category for 2025, and the data shows that I was correct.
Love that.
We saw a huge jump in Better For You soda sales, and really the clear winner, you know, Olipop leads the category, but really Poppy was the winner for 2025. They saw almost 23% dollar growth within infra, and 22% of that really being driven by increase in units. They had a strong promotional plan with infra for 2025, and it really proved to have positive results for them.
Excellent. Did you happen to look into sparkling water as well? If I'm recalling, not only were we talking about Better For You soda, but also more sparkling water with functional ingredients.
That we did, Angela. You are correct. And I do have some results for that. Trends were strong. Recess was our big winner in sparkling water. They did over $1.6 million in sales with them for last year, which was 13% growth year over year. And again, really driven by promotions. About a third of those sales were on promotion with Infra. So great job to the retailers executing those, and great job to Recess. Their promotional plan was strong, and it really had them jump up in the water category. Now they are number four and hot on the heels of LaCroix. Believe it or not.
I love that. And, you know, Recess is a great example of really functional sparkling water. So excited to see you be correct in that realm. All right. Your next big category, unless there's anything else you want to tell me about functional beverages, was your performance nutrition.
Ooh, that was a good one, wasn't it? You want to remind me what that prediction was?
I believe that you were talking about the growth of trace minerals and LMNT, which we had a small sidebar about how you pronounced. And so basically you were making the prediction that performance nutrition as a category was going to grow overall.
Well, I mean, that was like a pretty easy prediction. I mean, it blew the socks off year over year, over 30% growth for performance nutrition, topped out at just over $11,100,000 in infra sales. And Trace and Elementi, which I did learn. I heard that on the radio, actually. There was an advertisement, and they do pronounce it Elementi. Both were clear winners. Elementi grew over 65% year over year and ended the year at just over $1 million in sales in InfraMember stores.
Okay, at a 65% growth rate, I'm going to give you credit for 7% of that. Love
I'll
this.
Take it.
All right. Yeah, no, I think it's good. And I think it was you say it was an easy category. Sure, maybe, but really, really impressive to have called out that brand and then end up with 65. All right.
High protein, double exclamation points. This is a trend that continues to grow. You specifically call out our friends at Force of Nature and Thousand Hills.
I did. Well, Force of Nature had a fantastic year with infra. They didn't hit the $1 million mark, but they grew over 123% dollars year over year. And not all of that is being driven by inflation, because that was dollars, but units are also up over 130% with infra. So a great year for Force of Nature. They are now the number two in frozen meat and poultry category with infra. So a brand that's really gained some traction and is doing well in our member stores.
Most excellent. I feel like it was an easy category as well, a little bit like performance nutrition, but again, talking about what is a really substantial growth, and love that you specifically call out there was actual unit growth here and it was not just inflation. We've really struggled with that since 2020.
We have. And that was the frozen meat and refrigerated meat and poultry. They did just missed the $2 million mark, closed the year at $1,973,000, which was a 47% increase year over year. So again, Force of Nature is a force of nature in our member stores.
Love that. All right. So on the protein front, you did not just limit yourself to the refrigerated or frozen category. You also made a little prediction about the wellness category, specifically that Ancient Nutrition would become the number one protein supplement, outseating Garden of Life. You actually said category leader. Yes, you did. What happened, Nick?
Well, I think I nailed it, because they did grab the number one spot in protein supplements and meal replacements category. They closed the year at $5.6 million in sales for that category, which was just under 20% dollar growth, 10% of that being unit growth. And they are now the number one brand for protein supplements and meal replacements, which is super exciting.
I mean, I feel like you nailed this double-digit percentage pretty much across the board. I would be shocked if you were not getting phone calls after this episode for people to wonder what you were thinking on 2026 double-digit category. Amazing.
Just don't ask me for the Powerball numbers.
Yeah.
What is that currently at? Like $1.5 billion?
$1.5 billion. Yeah. Think about how much protein supplements you could buy with that. All right. We had one more little call out, because it would not be a conversation with you, Nick Ozan, if we did not at least talk about the mushroom category in some respect. So we did talk about their growing specificity. I made some joke about the way that I think it's cute that people are putting fruiting bodies on labels. But then you, of course, broke down that science. And I'm going to quote you again. I've been in the industry for 20 years and we have talked about mushrooms for a long time before they finally achieved recent popularity. I'm going to assume that mushrooms were still popular in 2025. What say you?
Well, I will say mushrooms continue to gain popularity. And they were a winner in VMS this year. Both Ancient Nutrition, Host Defense, Ohm, Kachava. It's a brand I haven't heard of, but I want to learn more about that. They summed up the mushroom category at just under $10 million in sales year over year. Combined, they saw just under 2,000% dollar growth year over year. So those were my clear mushroom supplement winners for 2025. And I think they're just going to continue to do the same. I see mushroom demand continuing to grow into the year. I think folks are finally getting over that mushrooms are weird or they taste funny. People are realizing the health benefits that mushrooms provide to them. And I'm so happy and thrilled that they're gaining this popularity.
I mean, you can think they're weird and still decide to consume them, I think.
So I suppose you can. Yeah. And these days you don't even have to taste them. They're in a capsule.
100%. You can watch The Last of Us and still decide that it's okay to eat some cordyceps.
OMG, Angela. I'm glad you mentioned that, because one of the clear not winners, I'm sorry, I saw a product at Sprouts. I'm not going to name the brand, but they were marketing Last of Us on this coffee that contained cordyceps. And it was an image of The Last of Us. And I don't know about you, but I don't think that's a selling point.
Yeah, I would actually think it's sort of an anti-selling point. Like, I do appreciate the cultural reference and you know, not that this is a pop culture podcast, but it was a great show.
Yeah, great show. Maybe not the best collab.
Maybe not the best collab. All right. So I appreciate you bringing data. I am incredibly impressed with your results. Really setting a high bar for any 2026 predictions today, Nick. I told myself that I was just going to keep my predictions anecdotal, so they're not going to be as interesting as yours, but that is how we roll here. So I picked all the ladies, more grocery geared toward women. We've seen numerous new brands show up in the feminine hygiene space. We are still looking at people coming out with bars for menopause, as well as all kinds of other specific gender-based ingredients. There's a supplement company I know that's coming onto the market that's doing their first gender-specific protein powders, and they're adding all kinds of interesting adaptogens that are gender-specific for our hormones, all the things. So I'm going to say that all the ladies, well, I was right, but I can't really quantify any like particular double-digit percentage of being correct. Second, I called out vegetables in all forms, and I'm actually going to give myself a no on this. I don't know. I didn't really see any new brands sprout up the way that I kind of thought that there would be. And I thought that it would be a little bit, I thought we would see a little bit more growth in center store. We're certainly still seeing more like dry pastas being made out of like a variety of beans and different grains, but that was not really what I meant. I wanted somebody to take more like that actual veggies burger that's in the frozen aisle and do some more whole food things in the center aisle. They're probably still working on it, but I really can't come back and say that I felt like that was a successful prediction.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a little bit of credit, Angela. I did see a little bit of more whole food vegetables out in the snacking category, a lot more dehydrated vegetables and some unique ones. So I'll give you partial credit. I'm going to say similarly to your prediction about insect proteins, you're just a little ahead of the game.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of interesting to think about, like how, like to your point about mushrooms, like how many years do we talk about these things before they actually come to fruition on the shelf?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, lastly, I was thinking about that GLP-1 trend and kind of like this meal solutions thing. And I know that there are some very conventional ConAgra and Nestle based smaller portion meals that are definitely geared toward the GLP-1 consumer. I haven't really seen that translate to the natural space. I think that, you know, I specifically called out things like Slate Milk and Soylent and thinking that we would see more ready to drink meal solution kind of options in the space. And I'm going to also say no, not so much. I haven't really seen that growth, but I imagine that it's still going to continue to be of interest, and that really maybe you think about capital B, capital F, big food manufacturers being able to do that a little faster maybe than our natural food counterparts. All right. Close out the books on 2025. Are you prepared today to talk to me about your 2026 predictions? And you are welcome to be as specific and data-centric or squishy as you like.
All right. I think I'm prepared. I might not have quite as grandiose of predictions as I did last year, but I have a couple.
All right. Let's go, Nick. Give me your first.
All right. Well, a category that I'm looking at and seeing opportunity for growth next year is in drink mixes, seeing double-digit growth next year, looking at some of the brands that are showing innovation. Elemente has some new items coming into that category, as well as Just Ingredients, True Grace, and Malama Mushrooms. So that is a category that I think is going to be a significant one for members to look at and do a little bit of category management and try to capture some new sales.
I like that. You know, I think that's a really reasonable riff on continuing focus on hydration and supplementation. That's kind of brings together functional and easy beverage. And it's true. I have seen a lot of like really interesting little packets. Liquid Death stands out to me this past year as having done that. Bloom. And I'm sure that there are more. I think maybe even Celsius is capitalizing on their kind of popularity by adding some little dry powdered sticks. So yeah, I think that's a great one.
Totally. Hydration is hot. My 16-year-old son if he's looking for these items, I know that other people are as well. And so this is, again, a great opportunity for folks. And it's really all about the merchandising, right? So making it prevalent, whether it's at the check stand, next to your beverage case, that's really where you're able to build those baskets and capture some of these incremental sales.
It is nice to specifically call that out as a fun kind of impulse item. Good call. All right. You got another one?
Do you want another one?
I do. Let's at least have two. You're capitalizing on 2025's amazing success.
All right. This is a bold prediction.
Ooh. All right, I'm ready. I'm sitting down.
So we had Ancient Nutrition taking the number one spot in protein supplements. I think Truvani has a lot of traction right now, and I think they're going to be number two by next year.
Ooh, I'd like to see that for them. I've always really liked their cool stand-up bag packaging.
I love
the packaging.
Simple
ingredients. Yeah, and what have they been on the market? Three-ish, four-ish years at this point?
It's been pretty close, yeah. And they saw 14% dollar growth and 13% unit growth year over year. So they have a lot of momentum, and I think they're going to be able to take the number two spot.
Now, not to split hairs here, my friend, but theoretically, we're calling that a protein supplement, but really, this is Nick do two rounds of dry powder that you put in liquid.
It's all about the powders, Angela.
It's all about the powders, 2026. We got to keep it simple, you guys. Like, just, you know, like, keep it compact, do as much as you can with just one item. I love that. I mean, on the real, if you want to think about economic factors, it does make sense to kind of double down on things that end up being a slightly more economical, but are still stretching your dollar and getting those hydration and all of those other functional ingredients in there. I like it. Truvani, number two. Ancient Nutrition, Nick's pick that moved into 2025, number one, stays as it is.
Oh, now stays
he's
number
working
one.
Working his way down the hierarchy. I like it.
What bold or squishy predictions do you have for next year, Angela?
Okay. Well, I want to flow my vegetable one through. I just really feel like there's still an opportunity for that.
Vegetable juice now?
No, I mean, you were right about the dehydrated veggies that are coming across in kind of the snack category, but I want to see, and I think that we are ripe to see, see what I did there? No, I think that it's time to see more whole vegetables in center store. Like, I saw a really innovative product a couple of months ago that was a fresh vegetable, kind of like a chutney, being merchandised in a salsa aisle, something you could theoretically eat with a spoon, but would also be lovely with chips, but was giving people a diversity of vegetables in a cool glass jar. I think they had three or four SKUs. I want to see more like that. I want to see more like Heyday Canning, doing cool things with vegetables on the shelf. I just think that there's still this piece of me that feels like natural food is less these very processed plant-based things, and we still have opportunity to leverage vegetables elsewhere. And I really want to be here next year being like, look at all these cool brands that sprouted up in the center aisle featuring the vegetable.
I like it.
Yeah, and I'm going to flow my second one through too. Where are my natural food companies showing up with the small portions, the complete nutrition, the answer to the GLP-1 consumer? I do think that there is something to be said for, and maybe it does end up being like the ready-to-drink meal replacement beverage. Maybe it does end up being like an interesting line of frozen foods that are specifically portioned and nutritionally complete. But I do still think we're going to see that coming.
All right. We'll have to tune in next year to see how that turns out.
Yes. Squishy on my end, radically specific on yours, which I do appreciate our juxtaposition.
Can I add just a rando one to the mix?
Of course.
So I spent some time looking at the pet category because pet has actually been growing within for very well, primarily in the treats subcategory of pet. But something that jumped out at me that I found really interesting was wild bird seed.
Oh.
We saw a marked increase in wild bird seed sales. And a couple of brands I want to call out were Small Batch Pets, Mr. Bird, and the Audubon Park. Small batch pets is specific to pet treats, so both cat and dog. But Mr. Bird and Audubon Park were both wild bird seed offerings that were kind of pre-made shapes, whether they were bells or wreaths or like a birdhouse made out of seed. And then you could hang it and feed the birds in your yard and do a little bird watching at the same time. And I don't know if this is a increase in the interest of supporting bird wildlife or the serenity that comes in watching birds in flight and eating, but it saw over a 40% increase year over year. And so I just want to make a special call out to feed the birds this year.
I think that's incredible. Kind of an interesting thing people are doing. I do continue to see some of those bird feeders that have the video cameras in them for people who want to like put something like that in their yard and then actually see what species stop. So maybe there is a renewed interest in the bird folk. I like it.
Well, I know one thing. After Michelle listens to this podcast, she's going to be ordering one of those.
I can't remember if our friend Michelle is okay with the term bird nerd, but I think she is. I think she's a real, capital B, capital N bird nerd. I like it. All right, Nick. Well, is there anything else that we did not talk about today that when I asked you to come back for your 2025 predictions and make a couple of predictions for 2026 that you wanted to make sure we touched on?
I mean, I teased it, but we didn't know what your prediction on insect protein.
Well, I felt like it was a bit of a sidebar. Do you have anything there? I didn't see a ton.
What I do know is after our conference, although I loved our keynote, I do not see our members bringing in roach milk anytime soon.
Well, it's kind of sounded like it was going to be quite a while before roach milk was going to be able to be produced. Just to ground this conversation a little bit, we had a radical keynote at our conference this year from Dr. Sammy, who basically told us that from a species perspective, it makes more sense for humans to be consuming roach milk than cow's milk or plant-based milk, but that the roach milk, he described it as bitter, had kind of a bitter flavor.
Yes, just slightly, ever so bitter.
Yeah, I believe we actually saw a clip of someone trying it and their face definitely did not make it seem like it was even in the realm of palatability. But it did sound like it was something that he was still going to work toward given the nutrition. Now, you and I both know that even if you were to get that nutrition deck to be incredible, you are still going to have to fight the consumer perception that would be just roach milk.
Yeah, maybe the 2200 prediction segment will be including roach milk.
There we go. We'll time capsule this episode. Hey, shout out to you guys 200 years from now. How's that roach milk? All right, Nick, I so appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for joining us in general on The Buyer's Desk. Please join us next week as we have a dynamic conversation with the co-founder of BevNet. Kim and I will be walking through our experience at the conference and talking about new and emerging beverage brands. Stay tuned and thank you.
Thanks, Angela. This was fun.
Drinking just hit an all-time low in the U.S. and millions of consumers are seeking out better options. Hi, I'm Scout Brisson, the CEO of Dessois, a line of non-alcoholic cocktails co-founded by Katy Perry and the award-winning distiller Morgan McLaughlin. Non-alc is one of the fastest-growing movements in beverage. Consumers are looking for the ritual of a cocktail without the alcohol, and they're actively seeking out premium options on shelf. That's where Dessois comes in. These aren't seltzers or your sad sugary mocktail. They're true cocktail replacements that are layered, complex, and crafted by an award-winning distiller. Every sip really delivers the nose, flavor, and finish of a cocktail, but without the booze. And they're functional too, infused with natural adaptogens like reishi mushroom and lion's mane for that buzz without the booze, a relaxed social feeling minus the hangover. With Dessois, your customers don't have to compromise on taste or ritual. Feel free to check us out at drinkdessois.com. That's drinkdessois.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Angela back on The Buyer's Desk, and I am thrilled to be joined by my friend and colleague, Kim Rout, who is an infra category manager and one of the producers here on the Buyer's Desk. How's it going this morning?
It's going great.
And we're joining you to go through what we think is a very exciting project that we do for our infra members. This is the second time we've been able to send out what we're calling a buyer's box. So we were so excited to get so many amazing brands this year to contribute samples that we organized and packed into over 500 boxes at Infra headquarters. And so Kim and I were going to take a moment to say both thank you and give every member that is listening to this episode a little highlight. We'll start with Bar Smith, who has sent us an amazing sample of their dehydrated oranges cocktail garnish. These are very cool in a plastic gusseted bag, could look really nice on a clip strip or maybe some kind of set near a cocktail or mocktail set. They're gluten-free and they are just beautiful, recommending for both cocktails and cheese boards.
And next up, we have my favorite, Better Sour. I have been a giggly little fan of these two, Bella and Samira. They have a Better For You Sour, and their new flavor that just debuted in October is the Tart Cherry. And if you like sour, you're going to get that punch right away. And then comes the tartness of the gummy, and they really hit it out of the box on this one. So congrats, you two.
And, you know, I didn't tee this up, but I would consider you maybe an expert in the candy space. So that goes quite far. I love it. Our next up is Bjorn Korn. I guess it's corn. It's spelled with that fun Q. But this is a homegrown, non-GMO, teeny tiny little sun popcorn made with solar power. They had full disclosure. Last week, I ate for dinner and was very satisfied. This is a really fun bag. The SKU that we sent out was sea salt, but I also tried their one that had nutritional yeast. Absolutely delicious.
And next up is Cedar Valley Pita Chips. This one is one of my new favorites. The pita chips are made, I should say, cooked in coconut oil, and they don't have that greasy film taste to it as sometimes pita chips do. So they really knocked it out of the park on that one.
Really love the cheese flavor as well. Effie's Homemade. This one is a classic brand. I have really loved so many of their SKUs. We have a box of the oat cake biscuits that are going in the buyer's box. And this is an excellent cracker for like toppings, cheese, charcuterie. It has got a really lovely crunch and enough flavor to stand up to, you know, a stronger flavored cheese. But honestly, I mean, if we're calling it a biscuit, it like is just delicious on its own. Love Effie's, love all their SKUs.
I'm right there with you, Angela. I am a huge Effie's fan as well. Next up is Element, and they have a organic sea salt dark chocolate bar. It is divine. Their mission extends beyond just the great chocolate. They also have a great 25% of every purchase goes towards holistic education for underserved children in India. So this is one SKU. They have many other SKUs, organic certified. They are a direct and really something that our members should carry every day.
All right, another oldie but a goodie for me, Equal Exchange, sending us one of their Equal Exchange Everyday coffees. This is a new line with a cool branding. They sent us the Women in Coffee blend. It's ground, it's medium roast. I could sit here and pontificate for the rest of this episode about how phenomenal Equal Exchange is. They do all the right things, incredibly supportive to our members, and really lovely to see them come out with an everyday line of coffee, you know, considering what's going on with coffee in general.
That is right, Angela. And this SKU, they have a few other SKUs as well, is really geared towards a lower retail. So definitely, if you're not carrying this one, you should check it out and get with your Equal Exchange rep. Innis Rosales. Oh, another oldie but goodie classic. Love their sweet olive oil torta. They have other flavors as well that are also divine. It's made with such care and meticulous attention to detail. Great for, you know, any type of get-togethers, upscale your little cheese boards. Love, love, love this brand.
Next up is Jones Bar, just a 5-ingredient simple snack bar committed to 100% organic ingredients, no added sugars, syrups, or fillers. Really lovely to see another stripped down, clean snack option, and particularly love it in a PB&J flavor.
Octo Nuts. I love this brand. Great flavor. In your buyer's box, you will have the Gugu Jiang roasted cashews. This is a non-GMO, gluten-free certified and kosher certified item. The flavor is delightful and it goes great just as a snacking nut, but you can also add it to salads or soups. But definitely a great flavor, and I think that everyone will love this one.
Shifting to our furry friends, shout out to Portland Pet Foods, sending us not only one of their fresh dog meals, but a lovely little bag of pumpkin biscuits. Obviously, I didn't personally try these, but shout out to my dog Luna, who seemed like it went really well on both counts. Although I will say, even just opening the salmon meal, you can see the vegetables, you can see the beautiful colors. I mean, it smelled like fresh salmon. She did eat it really quickly. I know it's kind of hard to tell with dogs, but really love to get that fresh pet food, you know, in a shelf-stable offering. Love the treats. And big shout out, Portland Pet. Thank you for everything.
I have to take on to that because my dogs love it. Every time they just see the package, they get excited. My German Shepherd, Harley, never jumps up on the counter. And she is on the counter, on her hind legs. She's barking, she's whining. I cannot get the food out of that packet fast enough. So yes, great job, Portland Pet Company. You have a fan in all three of my dogs, especially Harley. Prima protein bar. So this one is not your average protein bar. It's a very nutrient-dense bar. It's reconnecting some of those ancestral flavors, and it's great. It's got that whole foods, raw honey, and grass-fed collagen. There's beef tallow and whey. So don't count these bars out. They've got some great flavors, and it's a must try.
Smash Food Snack Bites. Okay, longtime fan. Love the chia smash. Felt like that was such an awesome idea, as well as, you know, capitalizing on chia seeds in the jam aisle. So very excited to see them make a fun little snack. I guess snack bite is the perfect thing. It's just a tiny little snack bite. Got a little peanut butter flavor on the outside and a Concord grape jam on the inside. I know they do a few SKUs of these with their different flavored jams. Not only the chia seed is amazing, but low sugar, really fun to snack. This was frankly the first package I grabbed for and was very satisfied.
Stellar Snacks delivers a healthier, more thoughtful snacking experience. And their Molly Monk delivers everything, including non-GMO, kosher, and vegan. Very good snacking pretzel. I love the flavor. And now I'm a new fan of Stellar Snacks. And so is the whole office.
I love their packaging. I just think it's so beautiful, too. Wait until, if you haven't seen it and you're getting that box, like, it's just this gorgeous floral motif that, frankly, in the snack aisle, I feel like is really going to stand out and be kind of differentiated and interesting. Also, kind of, I think that the flavors that they're doing are kind of incredible. Speaking of the snack aisle, bopping over to Top Seeds. This is a gluten-free, vegan, organic, and kosher-certified brand. Also women-owned. Just, you know, that gorgeous kind of fresh seed-based cracker. Got a really nice crunch. Like so many other crackers, it's got a lot of flavor that it's going to stand up to a fun cheese or charcuterie board. But also, you guys, seed crackers are incredible for dipping. They're not going to fall apart on you. They're strong enough to get through some kind of phenomenal dip. So a lot of fun options for the Top Seeds.
Woodridge Snacks, Brussels sprouts with sticky rice chips, their sweet Thai chili sauce flavor. Oh, I love it. Starts off real light and then has that nice finish in the end. Definitely a big fan of these Brussels sprouts sticky rice chips. And we had some snacks at the office with these, and everybody loves this flavor. So I'm sure that every single person that tries it will also be a fan.
We had one more special inclusion to the Winner's Buyer Box this year. We added one of our own Good Collective lotions. We've had an entire episode on the Buyer's Desk about the Good Collective, but Infra has an exclusive brand helping independent retailers drive traffic to their stores. This is part of the Body Care line, our second wave launch that came out after the multivitamins. So we've got hair care and body care. Everyone is going to get a beautiful bottle of lotion. And honestly, wintertime, there's so many of us here in the Midwest that are really excited to use that. On behalf of Kim and everyone at Infra, really excited again to be able to send out such a robust buyer's box. Thank you so much to every vendor that sent us enormous amount of samples. To be honest, putting them in 400 plus boxes at the office was kind of a fun time. And know that it is a lot of effort on everyone's part. And so thank you. Final words, Kim?
These boxes were packed with love and some cardboard cuts as well.
Yes. All of us going back to our grocery days, actually. That was kind of fun. Yes. I broke down cardboard. I made a pallet. It was a great day.
It was. I got to use a pallet jack. It was so much fun.
All right, everybody. Enjoy your Winner's Buyer Box. From the Buyer's Desk, Kim and Angela, take care. As we wrap up this episode of The Buyer's Desk, we'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks to the incredible Infra staff contributors, dedicated independent retailers, and visionary natural food brands and business partners that made this episode possible. Stay tuned for more inspiring insights and stories in the world of natural food retail. Until next time, thank you for your support. Angela Bozo, co-host and administrator.
Kim Rout, executive producer and segment contributor.
Jim Olson, Spins segment manager.
Austin Hinkle, audio engineer.
Sarah Super, wellness strategist.
Madeline Ware, marketing writer, editor, and digital manager.
Haley Craig, audio engineer and segment contributor.
Raina Kittredge, segment contributor.
Bella Sislo, outreach manager and segment contributor.